There is a word, there is a word. And I want you to turn your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Interesting little verse there. That's taken out of the context of chapter 10. And I'm going to read from the New International Version. But that verse 38 out of Acts chapter 10 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Lift out that second phrase or clause there, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God bless his word. Today I want to talk from in continuing this series on spiritual warfare. We'll be through with it after a while, y'all. I know y'all getting tired of spiritual warfare by now, ain't you? We'll be through. We're just about at the end. But today I want to talk about the Christian offensive in spiritual warfare. The Christian offensive in spiritual warfare. No matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, God loves you. In light of some of the tragic events of the past week, there's no mistaking the fact that we are involved in spiritual warfare. The devil is loose, alive, and well on planet Earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've been watching. I guess you know. I've watched as many of you, most of you, maybe all of you, have watched the television. And since Monday, that's all we've been hearing about is the stuff that happened at Virginia Tech. And they just keep talking about stuff. And they ain't fooling nobody. It's not so much that we're interested in that bad news sales.
Well.
Now let's be for real. Bad news sells. You know, as people, we don't really like to hear good news. We like to hear tragic stuff. We gloss over the little section in the newspaper or the radio news or the television news about the little kids who got an award at the Boy Scout troop or the Girl Scout troop. We glance over that and don't pay it any attention. But let somebody get cut from ear to ear, or whatever the case is. We looking for every story we can find. That's just human nature, isn't it? Something wrong with that, but that's who we are, you know. Now one of the things, pay attention to something you've been hearing on there. Everybody wants to do some speculating about what could have been done, what should have been done. You need to hear me say something today. First of all, when people are intent on doing something bad, you can't outguess them.
No.
You can't outguess them. Plus, if their mind ain't right,
well.
Now I'm talking about two different things. I'm talking about a person's mind ain't right on the one hand. If his mind ain't right, you still can't outguess him. And if the devil got hold to him, you still can't outguess him.
All right.
Sometimes, under some circumstances, the only thing we can do is, after the tragedy has occurred, allow God and us to work at healing one another.
All right.
Sometimes in life, there's nothing that you can do to avoid being hurt.
All right.
Now, everybody want to have a community. I'm not saying I'm not saying there's nothing that can be learned from all of this, but you ain't no need of us fooling ourselves. We can appoint a commission, a committee here, there, and yon, and because somebody said something this morning. I was watching the news. I'm talking about my sermon on the news this morning about we want to study this thing so that this won't happen again on another campus. Think about that, my friends. what we need to be about is the church needs to be about the business of God. This is a spiritual thing, huh? If the church, now you're not going to stop everybody from doing everything, but if the church gets to be about its business and people start understanding who God really is and what God really wants us to be about, some of these ding-dongs who go around doing some stuff who ain't crazy, they're just evil and have distorted the word of God, some of that stuff won't happen.
Well.
But enough about that, huh? There are a lot of books, there are a lot of brochures and people giving us advice on how to deal with spiritual warfare. There's a whole lot of stuff out there, and the question is, who is right? Which ideas are acceptable? Which ideas are appropriate, and which ones are not? There's a lot of controversy concerning spiritual warfare, and we need to develop some tools to ensure that the devil does not win as we engage in battle with him. Just because you're a Christian, just because you get into a fight with the devil, does not ensure that you're going to win. If you go into the battle ill-equipped, if you go into the battle not knowing how he fight, the devil will peel your head. I don't care how much you love the Lord. Here is the question before us. Should Christians go on the offensive when we're engaged in warfare with the devil? I'm asking it again. Should Christians go on the offensive when we're engaged in warfare with the devil? Should we pick a fight with the devil? In order to adequately address that question, we need to look at what Jesus did. A lot of folk go around running and doing a whole lot of stuff. Sometimes we need to stop and look at what Jesus did. In the process of doing his thing, did Jesus go on the offensive against Satan? Did Jesus go out looking for demons to cast out of people? Did Jesus go around turning up bushes, looking up under cans and all that kind of stuff, looking for some devils? Did Jesus go out and start a conflict with Satan? If that's what we mean by spiritual warfare, that Jesus went out looking for the devil, then the answer would be no. Jesus didn't have to look for evil to fight. Did you catch that? Jesus didn't have to look for evil to fight. He just went around doing good. Look at what the text said at Acts 10 and 38, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Jesus just went around doing good. He engaged himself with the mission that he had come into the world to do. He didn't have to look for evil. Evil found him. But watch this. When evil found him, he dealt with evil. I wonder if you caught that. Let me say it again with some emphasis. When evil found Jesus, Jesus dealt with the evil. Every time something went wrong, started going wrong with Jesus, he didn't start falling down praying. I keep telling y'all, we pray too much sometimes. Every time something happened, y'all won't start praying. Oh, Lord, praying, calling somebody, pray for me. Pray for yourself if you need some prayer, but then get up and do something. Prayer by itself ain't gonna change everything. I know they used to sing that song when I was a boy. They don't sing it no more now. Prayer changes things. Prayer don't change things. If prayer changes anything, the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, it changes you. Too many of us are trying to pray and ain't changed ourselves. But I sound like I'm fussing now. Let me move on. Listen to me today. Some stuff you don't have to look for. But when it finds you, you better be able to deal with it. Sometime when the stuff comes, don't looking like a dunce. You better be able to deal with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to deal with it because, you know, we get to pray and say, come on, right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. The Lord might be on a lunch break. You better be able to do something for yourself until the Lord gets there. I don't care who told you now. The Lord doesn't always come when you call him. He's going to come on time, but on his time. There's something else that you need to pay attention to. Something else that you need to pay attention to. Jesus didn't have a formula for dealing with the devil. He didn't have a set of words. He didn't have a set of phrases that were indispensable in dealing with the devil. He didn't have something. He said you got to say the right thing the right way in order for the devil he just used the power that he had available to him. I'm trying to say something right here, y'all. There is no formula for dealing with Satan. There are no magic words that work better than some others. If you're a child of God, you have the resources available to you to fight Satan. The thing for you to do is learn how to use what you have. Learn how to use what you have. When Jesus began his ministry, that very ministry itself was offensive to Satan. Jesus started out proclaiming the good news. His message was, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. He went over into Capernaum one day and told a paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Get up, take up your mat and go home. And that's all Jesus did. He just taught and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. He informed people that there is salvation. There is deliverance from sin. He healed physical infirmities. He freed people from demonic powers. And when he did that, the devil got mad. When he did what he had been sent to do, demons got uneasy. When bound people were set free, demons fled. When social outcasts found love in Jesus, Satan started to show enough, go on the offensive. When the church stops condemning folk and starts loving folk.
That's it.
First of all, you're going to get more folk in.
Well.
And when you get more folk in from where they are, the devil going to get mad.
Yeah.
You see, we're sitting around, running around, condemning folk who's standing on the corner. Because their britches too short or their britches too low or they got some earrings in 10 or 12 earrings in their ear and in their nose and in their tongue and all, because you don't want none in yours. I think I'm going to get me one. I've been talking about getting me one. I'll sure enough be senile then, won't I? Are you getting my picture? We spend time condemning folk because they don't do what we think they ought to do rather than showing them the love of God. There are enough folk in this community who don't know Jesus to fill up every church in this community. And still, there'll be a lot of folk outdoors. But the church is spending too much time condemning folk. But let me move on. When he did what he had come to do, the devil got on the offensive. Jesus was taking on the offensive by doing his job. Jesus' method of spiritual warfare was to proclaim and act upon the good news of the kingdom of God. That was the offensive position. I hope you got that. His offensive position was just to proclaim the good news. He didn't have to turn up no rocks to find the devil. He just proclaimed the good news. Let's look at the question again. Should Jesus go on the offensive? Should Christians go on the offensive when they're engaged in warfare with the devil? Here's the answer. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and start proclaiming the good news of the gospel. If you want to engage in meaningful and effective battle with the devil, then get into the word of God. And get into the word of God before trouble comes into your life. I told you this a couple of Sundays ago. Don't wait till you catch in hell and then want everybody to find you a special verse to read. You ought to be reading some of them verses before you, while you ain't catching hell. And then when hell starts whipping you upside the head, you'll already have some verses in your head. When the devil starts messing with you, you already know that verse that says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that can really help you. The only thing that can really help you in the fight. Should Christians go on the offensive? No, if you're talking about searching for demons and looking for evil. But if you plan to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to a lost and dying world, your answer is going to be an automatic yes. Yes, because Satan will seek you out. And when he seeks you out, engage him with the word of God. Take him on. Go toe to toe with him. Before I take my seat, I want to leave you with something to remember. A defensive attitude in spiritual warfare can prepare us and encourage us to go on the offensive. I think I need to say that again. A defensive attitude in spiritual warfare can prepare us and encourage us to go on the offensive. Here's some defensive measures that can be used in your offensive warfare with Satan. First of all, be on guard. Be on guard. Peter, in his message to the church, said that the devil is a roaring lion who wants to totally devour us. Don't play him cheap. Just because you're a Christian, don't think that you have more sense than the devil. I told you the other week that you don't need to focus all of your attention on the devil, but neither do you want to act as if he's not there. Don't get too overconfident. Don't forget that he's a schemer. Be aware of his tricks. The devil is thinking when you're asleep. If you try to stay awake and say, I ain't going to sleep, I'm going to stay awake, you're going to get drowsy, and before you know it, you're going to sleep. The devil doesn't go to sleep because he doesn't need to take a nap. When I was a young man, I used to sit back and laugh at all the old fellas who was doing this, yeah, you know. But I keep telling y'all, I kept having birthdays. Now I'm glad for folk who pray long prayers. I've been impatient all my life. I used to say, why don't that fella hurry up and get through praying? Now I'm going to pray all day if you want to. But while he's praying, I'm looking like I'm in prayer. I'm looking like I'm in meditation. The only thing I'm scared of that I won't start snowing, bro. Why?
Yeah, man.
Don't get too overconfident. The devil is smart. The devil doesn't take a nap. The devil doesn't rest. So the first thing, in your defense, in order to go on the offensive, be on guard. But then there's a second thing you need to do. You need to submit to God. Submit to God. Have you been bowing to his will? You got to yield to God. Have you been struggling to stay saved? Have you met up with some situations where you really wanted to take your little religion and lay it aside? You didn't need too long. You didn't need it to be sitting over on the shelf too long. You were just saying, Lord, let me set it there for about 60 seconds. In about 60 seconds, I can cuss him up one side the wall, down the other, and go back, take him to the back door.
My Lord, my Lord.
Can I get a witness?
Yes,
I'm just about through, y'all.
Yeah.
You have to work at this thing, bowing to his will. Sometimes God's will, I don't want to bow to it. Sometimes I want to do my thing. Can I get a witness? You see, it's only God. We got to submit to God because it's only God who can give us the power that we'll need to win spiritual battles. You can't win them by yourself. You don't know anybody who's smart enough to map out a strategy for victory over the devil. Only God can do that. But God needs you to cooperate with him. He wants you to submit your will to his will. And whenever you and I submit our will to God's will, then our lives become a threat to Satan. If Satan ain't bothering you, you better look around. I'm gonna say that one again. If Satan ain't bothering you today, you need to take a good look at yourself. Because you ain't all you think you cracked up to be. Huh? Yeah. If he ain't bothering you, he ain't bothering you because he already got you. But if you start submitting yourself to the will of God, the devil will come at you because you'll become a threat to him. And when you become a threat to the devil, he becomes aggressive. But don't let that scare you. You just keep on submitting to God. It may get hard, but you keep on submitting to God. But then there's a third thing. There's a third defensive thing to help you to be on the offensive as you are in process of submitting your will to God's will. Here's what you need to do. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Listen to Ephesians 6, verse 11, and then verse 13. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. The writer used the word stand 3 times in those 2 verses. The English word stand translates a military term, which means take your position and hold it. Take your position and hold it. No matter what the onslaught of the enemy might be, hold your position. You might get tired and weary, but hold your position. It may look as if the battle is already lost, but hold your position. The writer is trying to say that you can't defend yourself if you can't stand firm. It gets hard standing firm sometimes, but you got to stand anyhow. You may lose some friends sometime, but you got to stand anyhow. You can't fight effectively if you can't hold your position. If this is my position for God, I can't fight the devil
if I turn and run.
Because as soon as I turn and run, you know what the devil's going to do. He's going to kick me square in my... trying to kick so high I like to fail. But neither can you launch an effective attack if your footing is unstable. Remember I told you earlier in this series about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, having some shoes with some cleats on them, having some shoes that can dig into the ground. But finally, the fourth and the last thing is a defensive tool in your offensive against Satan is resist the devil. Resist the devil. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you resist him, he will flee from you. But now watch this. Resisting the devil means more than simply rebuking the devil. A lot of folk run around saying some word, rebuking the devil, and the devil is tearing them up. They're wondering why everything is going wrong in their lives. They ain't doing nothing but saying some words. It's easy to say some words. It's easy to spout off easy formulas, but resisting the devil means submitting to God first, then actively saying no to the temptations of the devil.
That's it, Pastor. That's it.
You can't pray to God, God, help me to stop such and such a thing, or help me, Lord, with this weakness in my life. And then when the temptation comes, you fall into the temptation and then get mad with God because he didn't keep you from doing it. I've told y'all this before. I didn't stop smoking. Lord didn't make me stop smoking. I decided to stop smoking. And I resisted the urge to smoke. And then the Lord came in and gave me the strength that I needed to fulfill my desire. But 21 years later, I still have to keep on resisting. Because right now, every now and then, I'm tempted just to see if I can't pick up one and get me a hit anyhow. See, I still remember the jargon. Yeah. You can't expect God to do it all for you without any effort on your part. The devil will flee from you, but you've got to resist him first. But listen to this. Listen to this. When he does flee from you, he won't be gone long. No, he won't be gone long. I wish I could tell you that if you resisted him, he'd leave you and never come back again. I wish that I could tell you if you resisted him, he'd leave you and you'd never have to be bothered with him again. But every time you resist him, he may leave you for a while, but he will come back. But when he comes back, you just need to be able to meet him with the word of God. He will come back. That's why you always need to be on guard. You got to watch as well as pray. He's a tough fighter. He's an ingenious fighter. That's why you need to continually submit your will to God's will. The devil has a lot of strategies. He has some big guns and he's well armed for the fight. But in spite of all that the devil has, you got to stand firm.
stand right there, even though standing might get difficult sometimes. If you want to really succeed in spiritual warfare, after you've been on guard, after you've submitted your will, after you've been standing there firm, you still have to resist the devil. He'll come at you from every side with all kinds of temptations. But just stand there and resist the devil. Yield not to temptation, because yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some others to win. Fight on manfully. Dark passion subdue. Just keep on looking ever to Jesus. He will carry you through.
Yes, he will. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Every now and then, I just have to ask the Savior to help me along the way. I get tired sometimes. I get frustrated sometimes. I get weak along the way. But I ask my Savior to help me along the way. And I've been walking with him long enough now that every now and then I can feel his presence come by and speak a word of assurance to my soul. Every now and then, when I think I'm walking this road all by myself, the word of God comes and reminds me that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I've been through some storms in my life. I've had to climb some hills, go through some valleys, cross over some deep waters. I've been in some storms. The lightning has been flashing. The thunder has been roaring. But I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad that he never left me. I've seen lightning flashing. I've heard thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard, I heard, I heard, I heard, I heard, I heard the voice of Jesus telling me to fight on. He promised. He promised. Hey, he promised. Never, never, never. Never to leave me alone. Should Christians go on the offensive? Don't go around looking for the devil. Don't go around looking for evil. He'll mess you up. You just do what God told you to do. The devil will find you. But then you be prepared for warfare when the devil finds you. And he fights dirty. He fights hard. But you have God on your side. I told you about that, didn't I? When I was a boy walking through the alleys at nighttime. These young folk don't know anything about that. Yeah, because they got cars to go everywhere. But we used to, when we went visiting folk, when I was a little boy, we had to come home, cut across some fields, go through some alleys. And some, you know, the booger man loves to hang out in the alley. When it's dark, sometimes you feel them warm breezes or those cool breezes at night. That's when the haints are coming out after you. But if I was walking with my daddy, if I was walking with my mother, I wasn't scared of the booger man. Why? Because I had my daddy's hand. I had my mama's hand. If a cool breeze passed me, I wasn't worried about that haint.
Because my daddy was big enough to beat up any hate that might come after me. I'm trying to say something, y'all. No matter what comes at me, my Father, my God, is big enough. He's great enough. He's powerful enough. I'm finna quit, y'all. My company done gone. I done made myself happy. But God is good. God is good. God is good.